Today. Let me turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Also, I failed to mention earlier, they do have some CDs. Is there one or two different CDs? Three different CDs. And don't know why we didn't get a table set up for them. But if you see, who's in charge? Okay. Mrs. Doucette is in charge of that. So if you see her, always want to make available good quality Christian music for folks. So if you avail yourself of that, I know it'll be a blessing to you. Please stand with me in reverence to the Word of God. At least you'll be awake for a moment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, we read this. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Father, once again, we're grateful and so thankful for a sweet day with you, a precious day with you, and thankful, Father, for the beautiful music we've had the blessing of sharing. Thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, just once again, we pray your blessing, your help at this time. Certainly, Father, I pray for illumination. Pray for liberty of lip to be able to declare the exact message that you'd have for us this afternoon. Again, Father, thank you. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for the great salvation that is ours through Him. Lord, again, thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, maybe seated. Look at that verse again. And we're going to use it as a springboard for our, you notice I said devotion. Please don't get the idea that Holton's joke about the long-winded preacher is going to have any effect on the time. Actually, I purposely am doing my best to not make this too long. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Notice what Paul writes there. He says, now I beseech you, or I plead with you. I plead with you, brethren. Brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. And certainly he's speaking to those of that are saved. His brothers and sisters, that family of God, by the name of, notice, our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. Now, Christians aren't to be cookie cutters. We're not to have lives of uniformity or conformity. But the idea is this unity that is to be ours in Christ. Speak the same thing. We've got one message, the message of Jesus Christ. And that there be no divisions, no schisms or factions. Oh, churches are so plagued with factions and divisions within them. Well, Paul says, let there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together. And that's an interesting expression there, that perfectly joined together. It has the idea of being completely mended. Isn't that interesting? Those words joined together have the idea of being thoroughly mended. And all those divisions, all those schisms would be what? Put away. That we would be mended of all such things in the same mind, the same thinking, and the same judgment. What's our opinion of things? What's our opinion of Christ? What's our opinion of this this whole thing we call Christianity? Well, is a little bit of introduction. We've been hearing a lot these days about unity. How we're going to be unifying of our country. In the title of our message is a call for unity. A call for unity. Now, ideally, that would be nice. That would be nice to see our country united again. But I'm not too hopeful. on the possibility and the current political climate. No, I don't see. Again, I'm not going to make this a political thing, so you rest at ease. I don't see much from this new administration that might unite my thinking or opinion with it. Actually, to a greater extent, probably just the opposite is going to take place along the way. Much of what's been done already this week with the stroke of a president's pen probably alienates a lot of Christians, at least should. But I do want to make this clear. As I preached last Sunday, I have to be careful. I will respect those in leadership. I promise that I will pray for those that are in charge. But the Bible asks a question. In Amos chapter 3, verse 3, you're familiar with those words? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Except they be agreed. What is it, beloved, that unifies people? What is it that brings people together? Now, usually or normally, it's some common ground, common beliefs that in something that that people share. Certainly, a common cause will unite people. Again, forgive me. I have little to no hope that this new administration is going to do anything that will unite the divisions that exist in the United States. But on the other side of that, Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, share all three of those things that unify. Those three things that we mentioned a moment ago. That unifying that I'm speaking of should be especially true for the members of a local church, for those that belong to a Bible-believing local church. And I want us, Metropolitan Baptist Church, to take notice this afternoon of the things that we have in common. All right? The things that we have in common. Number one, the common ground of, I'll use the term all Christians, but certainly the common ground that we share as a church. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul writes this to those churches, local churches just like ours, scattered through that region of Galatia. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, we read this. About this common ground. See if you've seen it. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Do you see our common ground spoken of there? What is that common ground that Paul's talking about? What is all of us have the common ground of who we were without Christ. Sinners in need of God's grace. Yes, we have the common ground of who we were without Christ, but now we also have that common ground of who we are in Christ. We share both those things. Beloved, rejoice. Rejoice with Paul's words as he wrote to the church at Rome, and he said this in chapter 5. We're very familiar with verse 8, are we not? But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were, I love that past tense, by the way, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, I see a unifying word there. He died for us. In fact, Paul mentions that twice in that first verse. In verse 8, God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But verse 9 goes on. Much more then, being now, hallelujah, it is past tense, The present's a whole lot different than the past. Much more than being now justified, made right by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come. Through Him, indeed. We've been saved through Him. Yes. We are sinners that have been saved by the grace of God. We've got plenty to rejoice in there. Every one of us started out at the same place. The most level ground in all the universe is at the foot of the cross. I'm thankful the guys moved those wires out of the way, you know. I'd be tangled up and laying on the floor here, but then. The most level ground in all the universe is found right there at the foot of the cross. Beloved, think about this. In light of what we've been hearing in these days, there's no racism at the foot of the cross. There's no socioeconomic prerequisites at the foot of the cross. Hallelujah. That's how we all got in. God loved the world. He so loved the world and gave His only begotten Son that what? Anyone, whosoever, anyone will repent and place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ can be saved. The door is open for all sinners, for every one of us. Yes. That's a tremendous, isn't it? Isn't that tremendous common ground? We all came to Jesus the same, and we all are saved the same. Same way. Same. Tremendous common ground. Without Christ, we were hopeless and helpless. In Christ, we have eternal hope. And His constant, continual help. So yes, indeed, there's that common ground of all Christians. But along with that, then, there's certainly the common beliefs, the common belief of Christians. Jude 3 has something to say about this. Jude writes and he says this, "Beloved," that sounds like a unifying word too, doesn't it? "Those that have received the love of God, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation that we just talked about. That common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Now, but I see some unifying things in that verse as well. Some things that unify us, where it says indeed that He exhorts us, exhorts you, that you should earnestly contend. We are to struggle. The idea of that word earnestly contend is to exert ourselves. Well, what are we to exert ourselves? For this faith that has once been delivered unto the saints, unto us. There's one faith. There's one faith. There is one faith, and it's not the point of this message to argue the differences of how folks might interpret the Bible. That's not our discussion here today. We profess to be a Bible-believing Baptist church. We're a Bible-believing. We found all our faith and our practice upon what this book says. We are in that then Bible believers that interpret the Bible for what it says, not for what we want it to say. Big difference. Listen to this. I think this is a valid point. Not what we want it to say. Beloved, when we allow the Bible to speak for itself, it unifies. Think about that. When we simply let the Bible say what it says, it unifies, it unites Bible believers. Bible believers, without apology, we earnestly contend for the faith. What we believe. What we believe must be, not should be, must be derived from this divine book that was once, and could we say once and for all, delivered unto the saints. Again, I want to emphasize this. Our common faith unites us. Unites us. What is that common faith? The Bible and its instruction. Now, to make that point, when man seeks to interpret the Bible to suit himself, to get it to say what he wants it to say, let's back up and say it right. When man tries to interpret the Bible to get God to say what he wants him to say, it divides. That divides. Makes sense, doesn't it? Well, I think it says this. Well, you think it says that. Well, let's just combine. Let's just unite our ignorance. And no, it doesn't work that way. When we try to interpret the Bible to suit ourselves, that divides. But when Christians interpret the Bible literally for what the Bible says, that unites. Amen. It takes away the division. Takes away the argument when we just let God speak. We just let God say what he wants us to say. Our common faith unites us. It unites us. The common belief of Christians. But then thirdly, believe it. This is three points and three only today. The common cause that unites us. The common cause of Christians in Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and verse 47. Listen to this. It says, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And verse 47 says this, praising God. And having favor with all the people. And then listen to this. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What's our cause? To see folks saved. Amen. To see folks come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Experience that life-changing relationship with him. Now, there's at least two statements in verse 46. That describe the unity that existed within that church in Jerusalem. That first Baptist church of Jerusalem. What's it say? They continued daily with one accord. Just getting Baptists to continue with each other is a pretty hard job. We see this first church, they continued daily with one accord. Now, I think a lot of Honda automobiles, but this is not talking about the Honda Accord. This is talking about an accord of spirit. They were in one accord, one mind, with a singleness of heart. A singleness, one mind and one heart. The church was not only unified in their thinking, which is surely right, they were also unified in their spirit, in their heart of hearts, in their very emotions were united and tied together. Certainly, I would think that would include, obviously, a love for their Lord, love for their God. But out of that, there would also be that singleness of heart and a love for each other. A love for each other that was created by God's love for them. Now listen, that beautiful unity that existed in that church was the reason, was the very foundation of that sweet fellowship that they experienced in the temple, but also is they would share around the table from house to house. It says as they shared their meat, as they shared their food from house to house. And of course, they met there in the Jewish temple. It was a gathering place. But they also met as brothers and sisters in Christ in their homes. What a beautiful unity they had. The outcome, now this is important. The outcome of that unity was that God added to the church, isn't that beautiful? Daily. Daily. Such as should be saved. Those who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, we just saw the point before that we must contend for the faith. We are to stand for truth. Amen. We are to stand for the truth. 21st Christianity. Oh my. 21st century Christianity is a sea of compromise. Now listen to this. It's a sea of compromise in the name of a false unity. It's unity, no matter what, at the sacrifice of truth. But we can't have that. What we say before, the real truth, the faith, does unify. We don't have to fake that unity. It's something that God produces in and of Himself. While this truth in unity, let me back up. Truth founded upon unity, or I'm going to say it the opposite. Unity that is founded or based upon truth will accomplish some things. Will accomplish some things. Where those two are found, truth and unity, within a local church, with God's people, where those two are found, God is present. God will be there. God will be there. And where and when God is present, people will be saved. I believe that with all my heart. Huh? I believe that with all my heart. That where God's people are right with Him and each other, there will be people saved. Now, we're also very, very familiar with the Great Commission. But I want us to turn there. You can look at Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. But I want us to look at it from a little bit different perspective. I want us to look at it from this perspective of unity that we're talking about. Again, we'll just read the verses and then look at it a little bit. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. There, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world." Amen. Amen. Now, I don't want anybody in these first two rows, I don't want their eyes, I don't want their eyes going up in their heads when I say this, but grammatically in those two verses, the verbs in those verses that are directives to God's people, directives to us, the Lord's disciples, are all plural. They're all in the plural. Go ye, plural, therefore, and teach, plural. The idea of that word teach is to make disciples. Go ye, every one of us, as a church and as individuals, and teach all nations. Baptizing, guess what? It's plural. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching. Yeah, you guessed it. Plural. We're all to be involved in this thing, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Huh? To me, that's a great statement of unity. We have a common cause, beloved. We have a common cause that's been given to us. Even that last pronoun you there, it's a plural. He will be with you. He will be with us. How long? Till the end. Till he returns. To the end of the world. Huh? Wow. Let's sink in, please. He's given us our command. But within that command is also our cause. Our common cause. It's obvious. It's obvious, should be obvious, that the cause of Christ unites us as believers, unites us as a people of God. Every member of this church is indeed an individual. We're all individuals. All of us have different likes and dislikes. I don't know how many leftovers, though, there are back on that table. It seemed like we all pretty much liked it all. We have different interests. We have different hobbies, different things we enjoy doing. We have different gifts that God's given to us to serve Him. We've enjoyed the gifts that He gave this family today. But also, with all that said, the differences are what make us complete. Isn't that right? We surely don't need more than one Jim Turner around here. Huh? And one Bruce Martin's enough. Huh? All the way around, right? We're unique. But our uniqueness and the gifts that God has given to us is what also completes us. Unifies us. Yes. With all that's gone on for the last year, I mean, it's just every, I don't know about you, but with every new week or new month, I'm thinking, well, maybe things will start settling down. And you've heard me say this before, I don't want to hear nothing about a new normal. I want normal. Huh? I want things back.
That's right.
I don't know how much of it will ever get back, but I want it back. But most of all, I want what God wants for us. With all that we've gone in over this last year and sharing with Brother Doucette there a few minutes ago how we happened to be up at the Hudson's moving some furniture around about 3 weeks ago. And Brother Doucette called during that time. And Brother Hudson and him were talking and I ended up on the phone with Brother Doucette, and today was a result of that. My prayer for today was that God would just grant us a day to enjoy Him. Just enjoy the Lord. Enjoy each other. Enjoy each other. That He would unite us. Yes, in song. Beautiful. Beautiful music. Unite. It's in song, but the song of our hearts would be united. Of course, I was praying that we'd hear from Him as well. The songs, again, I'm just so thankful for the songs that were sung. I mean, there's some songs that are fun, but songs that honor the Lord Jesus Christ throughout. Honor God. To hear our God be honored through the music, through His word. And as I'd sat over there and hearing your amens. Hearing your amens to what God was doing. Along with all that, my prayer is also, as always, but especially for today, that our hearts would be encouraged. We need some encouragement in these days. That our hearts would be encouraged, and that those things that we've been trying to look at this evening, those things that unite us, would come front and center. That we'd be reminded we do have common ground with each other. We do have a common faith, beloved. And church, we do have a common cause. And it's all about Jesus. It's all about what He has done for us. Dear church, you're our family. We're family. And I guess that's why, within families, there can be friction. The Doucettes are their buses out back here. You have a home somewhere too, brother? Yeah, thankfully, huh? And I wouldn't be surprised. There's times that there could be some friction in that bus. Never? The altar is going to be open here in a minute. At times there's friction in families. If there isn't, there's probably something wrong. But because a church family when a church family is as close as they should be, as brothers and sisters in Christ, our elder brother, as Hebrews describes the Lord Jesus Christ, and our Heavenly Father in glory, we're a family. Huh? Many church families are much closer than many physical families. Hey, I'm thankful for my family, my physical family. Thankful that God put our daughters with preachers and that they're serving the Lord. I'm thankful for all that. And I love them. But I just want you to know, church, I love you too. You're my family. Very much my family. And so I pray that today has been a blessing to us and an encouragement to us. So thankful for this dear family come our way. They're going to be ministering, and I guess you all be singing down at what's the name of the church there in Alvarado? Miss Susie probably remembers the name of that church. Do you know where your husband is today? Yeah, Brother Lindsay. Well, we could probably find out where it is. That's not too far off if you'd like to visit that church. They're in special meetings beginning tomorrow and for next few days. So let's stand together, church. The men, I don't want to call you boys, the men are going to come and sing once again for us before we say amen to our day. Father, we are so thankful for our Savior. So thankful for all these things that unite us. So thankful, Lord, for my church family, my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Thankful, Father, that you would be pleased to make us part of your family, placed us as children in your family. And so, Father, I pray that even as we would close out the day, join this last song with the Doucettes, please, Lord, please bless in a beautiful way. Use these young men and their family as they minister for you. God, please bless. And bless your cause through us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen, fellas.
Easy. Today when my last line is written, someday when I draw my last breath, when my last words on earth have been spoken, and my lips are sealed in death, no one look on my cold form in pity.
Years ago.